You're listening to An Introduction to the Catholic Life. Salve.
And welcome to An Introduction to the Catholic Life. We are ready to get rolling. I've taken the handbrake off and just let the car... I'm just going to let the car run this time as the designated driver. Firstly, I'm going to apologise because I sound terrible, but I've got a bit of a cold. It's Connor.
He's no well.
No well. You were saying to me earlier on, you sound like an old lady. It's that time of year, isn't it?
It is though, it's true, but there is
everybody's
an element
afflicted.
Of it. It's like that, oh, you feel like an old lady when you say it, like, it's that time of year, everybody's no well, you know, the weather's changed, you know.
It's turning.
It's true though, it's turning.
Nights are for drawing in.
Winter is coming.
So when I get in the car from the station, that's what James said, like, you know.
Wee old lady.
Peter from my work was actually saying, he was like, he thinks it'll sound quite good on the recording.
Oh.
Yeah, he thinks people will enjoy listening to my voice.
Big block nose. nothing better than listening to somebody with a big block nose.
Aye. In fact, in any time you are all going to speak, I'm going to sniff as well.
Did it always seem to be like when you were doing exams in school, like there was somebody always sitting either beside you or behind you who would just do these big massive sniffs for like 3 hours?
Yeah.
Honest to goodness. I think I could have done better in my exams if it weren't for those people. Selfish.
May I blow your nose?
You want a tissue, you?
One of my exams last year, there was a girl who sat in, it was like 10 minutes in, she obviously decided she wasn't going to do it, and she just sat doing this.
Oh, no
on
way.
The table, and I was like, I didn't want to look over, because then I'd be like, you're cheating. But at the same time, I was like, all the way through an hour and a half exam, just someone doing this
quiet.
The whole way through it.
I watched the guy cheat in an exam.
Really?
I just sat and watched them, it was university. And for some reason, they had changed the rules about mobile phones, and you had to put your mobile phone on the floor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he picked his mobile phone up with his 2 feet and then sat it on his seat. So he's looking down his desk with his mobile phone in between his legs, he was Googling stuff. I really don't know how, like, what he could have been Googling. He must have had notes or something saved on his phone, but...
Well, they've just recently changed as well now, where you can't, if you've got a water bottle in front of you, you have to take off the wrapper, because there was that story of someone who basically printed, like made a fake kind of covering for a bottle of water and changed the ingredients to like notes for his exam. But and so now they make you take off all the coverings of your bottle.
I think
crazy.
If you go to that much effort,
you deserve it.
You deserve your money.
Or you could just put that amount of effort into studying.
Aye.
But like, I think it went viral, that photo.
Yeah.
But it was like all the fonts.
That's right, yeah.
Were like the same as the ingredient font and stuff like that.
That's
it
sick.
Was a bit, it was, I think it was maybe just...
Fake.
I think it was fake.
Well, anyway, they now do that, so if you take a bottle of water and you have to take off the wrapper of it.
Here we are.
Here we go.
I don't think folk are
at least at uni they do, I don't know what it's like in schools and stuff.
So we're all alright, I think. Everyone's a bit not with it, I don't think.
We're a bit under the weather. A
couple of migraines.
Mm.
Really on holiday mode. Bad.
Preparing to fly away to Germany for a week, and that'll be the first time I've seen my gran, who lives over there, in quite a wee while. Mm. The best part of a year, so I'm looking forward to that very much. But we are going to attempt to do this recording, and then I'm going to rush home, and in stereotypical and traditional fashion, I'm going to pack everything in the last minute. So doubtless at the airport, I'll realise that I've forgotten one of a passport, toothbrush, you know, the usual sort of things. But I'm looking forward to it nevertheless. It'll be nice to get away. And the weather's supposed to be great as well, which will be a nice change.
There's always that thing when you're on holiday, isn't it? Like, you finally feel, I'm on holiday when you're in the airport with a beer in front of you. Even if it's 6 in the morning.
7 in the morning, yeah.
You've got your beer and you think, you've paid £8 or something like that in the airport for it. But that taste of holiday, you know, it's a...
Tasty freedom.
Taste of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
So, Rory, you've got that to look forward to tomorrow, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So it's about 12 hours away, which is quite nice.
Here we go.
Ooh.
Anything else happening, or we just crack on?
Just crack on.
Okay. I'm going to put it in a gear, take the handbrake off, but we're going to start.
First gear the whole way.
Take it easy. I'm no with it. I can't handle it.
The weather's turning.
It's turning. It's just that time of year. So this podcast was kind of, I don't know, just we're always kind of thinking what we're going to do next. And I don't know, heard a couple of homilies where I thought that's the topic to do. So we're going to talk about perseverance. And perseverance in the Catholic life and the faith, the life of the faith, and in your sort of the day-to-day, and I think we'll get different experiences on that and different wee points.
Wee golden nuggets.
Wee golden nuggets, a few wee quotes and stuff like that.
Well, I've already decided I don't really have anything myself that I can contribute to this, but I do have the way sitting in front of me with lots of wee bullet points. So at various times, I'm just going to read out a wee point. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm going to just sit here.
Sean knows the way.
He knows the way. But I was saying to Sean during the week, I was saying, you know, I'm going to do this podcast in perseverance, and people who know me will know that I haven't really persevered at anything in my life. So I tend not to, like, do the full course for, like, more than 6 months. So I've got a wee bit of cheek, but I often think people talk about things that they actually struggle with, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So is that why you were watching the guy in the exam as opposed to doing the exam yourself?
I wanted to cheat. I just didn't have the guts to do it. But anyway, so perseverance, I was at Mass, and the passage was Matthew 14, and it was Peter and the disciples in the boat, and they see a ghost in the water, and it's Christ. And then this, you know, Christ says to them, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you in the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So it was coming up in my prayer life, different things, you know, just about, I mean, if you think about the church at the moment, there's a lot of stuff going on, things that can dishearten you can be discouraged. And it was at this point, this was the gospel, it was during a week Mass, and it was a very quick homily, and I just thought the priest hit the nail on the head, and he started to talk about how, you know, he gave a small story about there was a young man who worked on a boat, and he had to go up up the sail. To what do you call that?
The mast.
Up the mast and up to the nest or whatever they call it. Wee bird nest or something. And he said he was climbing up it, and halfway up he looked down and he started to feel sick, and then he's going to fall and all this kind of stuff. And then an older sailor who was more experienced looked up and said to him, "Look upwards, keep your eyes up, keep your eyes heavenwards." And he was fine, he made his way up. And he was making this point that if we keep our eyes on Christ, then we'll be fine. And Peter took his eyes off, he saw the wind, he took his eyes off Christ, he was distracted. So I just thought I'd start with that, how in perseverance, if we want to persevere in the faith life, we're going to come across points where we're going to be discouraged, discouraged by ourselves, by our own faults, and also by other things.
Yep.
Toes.
Anyone want to add anything to that?
No, it's true, isn't it? That's the thing. And it's, in some ways it's easy to tell yourself that, but it's the nitty gritty of whenever despair grabs you, or you feel that the wind, as St. Peter did, and you see the choppy seas around you, and you start to sink, and you see your life going downwards, and then having to remind yourself all the time to look at Christ is something which is important, but it's also sometimes hard to do, because amongst everything else that's going on in your life, sometimes you can forget to do that. That's me. I've got to go. Bye.
It's getting the way out.
It's getting the way out.
To begin is for everyone. To persevere is for saints.
True that.
Get out of the way, Sean.
But I think if we think about that, then we need to think about what perseverance is actually for. And you, have you got the definition of perseverance there?
Yes.
Yes. So this was a definition that was on a Catholic dictionary or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so it's a Catholic dictionary, and it talks about perseverance, the virtue of perseverance being the aim of remaining in the state of grace until the end of life. But then the following sentence, which we're all laughing about, just says, the church teaches that this is impossible, which is quite funny. But it goes on to say, it's impossible without the special help of God to persevere in the state of grace to the end. And so ultimately, I guess, that's what it's saying, isn't it? That perseverance in the Catholic mind is to actually persevere in a state of grace, which we can only do through God's grace and the sacrament of confession, I guess.
It's important to know as well what perseverance is for, and that's what you were asking a minute ago, James. What precisely is perseverance for, and to what end should we follow that path? And this is something which St. Paul can help us with very much. In his letter to the Romans in the 5th chapter, he speaks about perseverance, about suffering and so forth. And specifically, he writes to the community in Rome, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And that tells us quite succinctly what perseverance is for. It is a pathway to hope, one of the great theological virtues, of course. And it's important to remember, really, isn't it, that perseverance is never something which is locked in itself or something which is apart from any other part of the spiritual life. It is something which is helpful in following a path of hope and a path of following Christ in worship and in adoration before his presence.
I think it's also interesting where that starts off from, though. Where does perseverance come from? Suffering. So it's often in times of trial where we're tested. You know, your faith is tested, and you need perseverance to get through it and to then go towards that virtue of hope. And it's in that virtue of hope that ultimately we aim for sainthood.
I think it's quite comforting in many ways as well, even thinking back of that. You know, the thing that the church actually says is very, you know, it's impossible for us to do it alone. And it can be quite comforting in that sense, that when you're struggling, we've all got our own sins that we struggle with, and we try to persevere through them, but we see that we constantly fall. And knowing that we can't actually do it ourselves is quite comforting, I guess, because it makes you don't feel as bad whenever you constantly fall all the time. You think, actually, the only way I'm going to get through this is with God's grace and with the grace of the sacraments to fortify me and continue in this struggle through life. And so, you know, when we find whenever we find ourselves in that moment of despair, where we lack courage to move forward and persevere, knowing that ultimately only God can give us that grace is something which is quite good and actually help. It's hopeful, isn't it? Because it helps us move forward.
Yeah, those moments of sin and falling actually allow us to build up perseverance, and it's something that you build up, that you have to, you know, it's not just a you overcome something like straight away. I remember whatever it was, I was reading an article and I was like, you know, whatever, like sins that you're constantly committing and you think I'm never going to get over this, all that sort of stuff, and it made that point, you know, if you just got over things like straight away, how prideful you'd become. And actually, you know, it's you know, it's humbling. You have to humble yourself. You know, you're humbled by your own sinfulness.
So you can't do it yourself. So that makes you, it forces you to be humble and realize I can't do it myself. Mm-hmm. And the culture tells us all the time that, you know, it's up to us to do, you know, to make things right, and we can make our perfect life if we only tried and did this and that and the next thing, and really the church is saying, our Lord's saying, you can't do it yourself. You need me to help you.
I was just thinking that there actually when we were discussing it, you know, if it'd be interesting to actually pick out the differences between the secular definition of perseverance and the Catholic definition of perseverance. Perseverance, according to the world, would be stick at something, and it's, you know, it's your durability in any certain task. But actually, the Catholic perseverance, that kind of humble acknowledgement that, no, in fact, we cannot weather all the storms. We cannot face the wind. Actually, we need to constantly look at Christ. And that image we started off with, you know, that, you know, sailor saying, you know, keep your eyes heavenwards. It puts us, it's, you know, it's another way that we see the virtues put us in right relationship with God, where we are constantly fixed on him. We're not relying on our own strength. So, yeah, you know, very much a humble virtue.
There's something quite unique in a tragic sense about modern society, in that the society in which we live ourselves certainly is marked by a deep sense of pessimism and of scepticism and indeed of cynicism as well. And so many of our contemporaries come to the conclusion that the church, that the faith is asking the impossible of individuals, no matter what walk of life they find themselves in. But it's important to say from the word go at the very beginning that we're not asking individuals, God is not asking anyone at all to perform that which is impossible. Rather, Christ wishes to come into each and every individual's life and to make that difference through the grace which he offers through the sacraments. And that is what we have to communicate quite clearly. We are not, as Catholics, asking the impossible of anyone. We are simply communicating that same hope which comes through relationship with Christ, which makes itself known day in, day out in the lives of those who faithfully attend the sacraments and so forth. And it is something which is liberating in a sense, and it lifts those dark clouds of scepticism, cynicism and so forth, which are tragically so common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God will give us those graces that we need if we humbly ask for them.
Mm-hmm. And I mean that is more comforting than anything, really, because I mean in both the scripture passage that we started with, St. Peter sinking beneath the waves, and the anecdote of the sailor, you know, we all know that feeling of helplessness, of looking down, feeling sick, you know, and to know that God's got us in those moments, or all we need to do in those moments is to keep our eyes on Christ. Mm. You know, that's a lot more comforting than trying to think, you know, oh, I need to rely on my own strength here, I need to do this.
Yeah, because I mean, we're called to be in the world but not of the world, and that's easier said than done, because when you've got lots of pressures and, you know, something's happened in your life that you need to deal with right now, you know, your life, whatever's happening, be it sin or even just the circumstances of living at this moment, you know, this present time and within this culture, those struggles, those daily things we have to deal with are pressing, and if we don't deal with them now, something worse can even happen, so we need to deal with them. But it's that, yeah, in the Catholic life, prioritising and saying, ultimately, today I need to deal with this, you know, this is the next thing, and these things are coming through in my life which are going to be struggles, but rather than just in a purely materialistic way, looking at them and focusing on them as things in themselves, and realising that the only way we're going to get through this is by continuing in a solid prayer life and continuing to look at Christ and see that the only way we're going to get through them is through his grace.
Perseverance, of course, always has to start somewhere, and there's a tremendous example of that in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel, where Christ comes across the Roman soldier, and the Roman soldier, of course, speaks to Christ of his servant. His servant is seriously unwell, but he says to Christ, that is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant shall be healed. To which, of course, Christ responds, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. And that, I think, is a good example of a point of beginning, perhaps, a point of beginning through which perseverance might well emerge. But it has to start somewhere. And, of course, we're coming back to this point. Nothing which God asks, or nothing which the Church asks, begins at a point of impossibility. It has to start somewhere, and perseverance and consequently hope emerge from that point of beginning.
And that Domine non sum dignus, the Lord, I am not worthy, is that, you're right, the starting point, isn't it? In order to understand the Catholic life in general. You know, we can't do these things alone. We can't weather the storms of life alone. We need to understand that we are not worthy, and that we need his help. That does help, you know, when you realise that, because you think that of all the situations in your life, you can get through it, even if it looks impossible, only with his help.
Not only that, not just as a starting point, but you need to then start again as well. You know, there'll be times where it, you know, things fall off, or I don't know what the phrase would be, but, you know, like your prayer life goes out the window, things like that, you know, and I certainly think that it's starting again. We almost do that, you know, we confession, you know, we start again. And it's that perseverance to keep going, to keep going back, to keep starting again, to set us on the right road. Mm-hmm. You're looking at the way that...
I was looking at the way for inspiration, but I thought of something to say. No, I'm probably going to forget it. That kind of idea of, you know, beginning again is something that is, yeah, totally, totally important to perseverance, because it's not just... we have read out that definition of perseverance, which is staying in a state of grace until death, But there's that other perseverance, and St. Jose Maria, actually, in one of his other books, it might be in another chapter in there, says that, you know, a saint is a sinner that keeps trying, and that sort of perseverance when, yeah, our own sinfulness gets in the way, but that constant turning back to God, even if we don't keep our eyes fixed on him the full time, obviously with the grace of the sacrament of confession, we can turn back to him and continue that perseverance, and the fight may not be lost from one fall.
Yeah. I had a funny wee... moment where I'd picked up an old prayer book that I hadn't picked up in, you know, about a year or something like that, and I sort of opened up, and then there was a note in it from a pal of mine, and it was like, James, keep praying.
He just left
a note in my book. So, you know, that kind of, you know, you get consolations from it as well. You know, it's not as if everything's rubbish all the time. And you need to just persevere through it. Do you know what I mean? There will be consolations on the way. And it was that kind of moment of being like, I should have probably opened this book a while ago. But
it's an emergency. We need something. I'm going to dial 999 in the way. 999 of the way. For what is the secret of perseverance? Love. Fall in love, and you will not leave him.
Amen. I think that's what I mean. We were at Bishop Robert Barron's talk as well, and he was making this point of getting back to Christ and getting back to the point of looking at Jesus and getting to know him. And without him, then we are not going to have that love. We're not going to have that idea that this is important, and we need to know him and love him to know ourselves that what we're doing is worth it, and that it's worth persevering, because at the end of the day, what is it all about?
Mm-hmm.
It's about eternal life.
I think it's true to say as well that if we don't somehow learn by the grace of God to persevere, then we won't understand God's blessings when they come, or at least we don't understand them correctly. There's something to that. Going perhaps to the upper end of the scale, I was quite struck by something I read from an interview with Colonel Robert Sarah, who we've spoken of once or twice before, and he said that when he feels tired or distressed about something, he will often fast for 3 or 4 days in succession to recharge his batteries. it seems so counterintuitive. If you're perhaps new to the faith or young in the faith, that must seem incredibly counterintuitive and exhausting, if anything. But Carl Sarah, of course, is a man who's somewhat further ahead than the most of us are, perhaps, in the spiritual life. And actually, his example of fasting for days and then to recharge his spiritual and physical batteries is an interesting one, and it's a very perceptive point. It's almost as if he intuits the fact that suffering, perseverance, is to be embraced, and it is only through that embrace of that which God puts before us that we can in turn understand the many blessings and graces which he bestows on his children.
Fasting is an interesting thing as well, isn't it? Because not many Catholics speak about it anymore. But you can see, even just at a very practical level, that fasting from food enforces in you and makes you remember more clearly, or in a really physical way, when your stomach's, you know, rumbling and you're starving, that we do not live on bread alone. That idea that, you know, that everything comes from God and we depend on him for everything, and kind of putting the priorities straight. And there is a thing maybe where we need to rediscover fasting more as the church.
There's
a lot of
different things that can, you know, self-discipline, in terms of overcoming sin as well. They often say that to break habits you should fast, and it teaches you to...
And even replace bad habits with good habits. We are habitual creatures. We spoke about before how we almost follow a sort of a habitual or liturgical pattern to our lives, no matter how religious or otherwise we are. Everyone has some sort of pattern to the lives, but the question is whether our habits and our patterns are healthy or unhealthy. We can persevere with one and the other, and so it's important to tie down those good habits and to ensure that we always keep our gaze fixed on Christ, and that is something which will in turn be very rewarding for our spiritual lives.
Sometimes when I read about fasting, especially like saints from back in the Middle Ages, I mean, on one hand, it makes me want to do like crazy stuff during Lent, but when you compare the fasting that people do even during Lent nowadays, compared back to the great saints of the Middle Ages, it's absolutely nothing. I mean, even all the kind of English martyrs from just after the Reformation, all that, the kind of fasting they used to do, just in order to reinforce that thing in their head of, no, actually, I have more of a duty to my soul than I do my body. It's quite grim reading some of it. Kind of makes you want to try it out just to see if it works. But
things that we would say are impossible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
As well.
But obviously,
it perhaps says something about our modern sensibilities that we think that something which was achievable and within reach for many individuals who suffered in such a difficult time, as was the case after the Reformation, if they could do it, then we, given our relative comforts, certainly can. And it's important to remember as well that fasting, almsgiving, prayer and so forth is not something which is to be limited to Lent either. This is something which you can take up at any time of the year. It's a good habit to begin. Of course, the Church exhorts our children to pay particular attention to fasting during Lent and Advent, of course, penitential seasons. But nevertheless, this is not something which is to be limited to those times of the year. It's something which you can pick up at any time, much as you would any other habit at any other time.
It's counterintuitive, though, isn't it? You think if you're having a bad time, what you should do is make it worse by not eating. It's like if you've got a real problem in your hands, you know, yeah, there is a thing of like, why would I just then make it worse? Because I'm going to be miserable, but I'm also going to be starving, or I'm going to, you know. But this is the thing, it's kind of remind, like you said, Sean, remembering that there's a hierarchy to our life, and that the most important thing is that we look after our soul rather than.
Chesterton once wrote words to the effect of, the key to happiness is not to desire more, but to desire less. And that is something which should ring true for a great many people. We often find ourselves wanting more and more and more. Whereas in fact, if we teach ourselves with the grace of God to remove ourselves from certain temptations, that is where we will find happiness. It is not in the more that we will find the joy and meaning of our lives, rather it is in less. And that is an important lesson right throughout the ages and in any context.
Which is all the more difficult, I think, for today's society to understand, because we live in such a fast-paced, consumeristic society where everyone's used to getting whatever they want in an obscenely quick amount of time. Have you seen this Amazon Now? It's not actually all that old now, but mm-hmm. you can get stuff to delivered in your house with, like, within 2 hours.
Really? It's like, yeah. Uh-huh. Things like toilet roll and milk and stuff they've started doing.
Right. So bottles of iron brew.
Bottles of iron brew, yeah.
You can get them delivered in 2 hours. Yeah. But, I mean, but it shows you, you know, the demand is ever increasing for to get more and more, and society seems to be training us, and not in a good way, to distort that hierarchy.
It's an example of instant gratification.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
which we have become so numb to, really, mm-hmm. And it's a terrible, terrible shame. We needn't mm-hmm. wonder why we often find ourselves at a loss to explain why one thing or another might go wrong in our lives or in other people's lives if we are so accustomed to being instantly gratified, as opposed to being that little bit more patient, perhaps, mm-hmm. Waiting for not rewards necessarily, but certainly for things which we feel might be beneficial to our lives and to those around us. Unfortunately, we're sort of trapped there, and mm-hmm. this is something which the Catholic faith really can help with, because we can simply refer to our own theology and tradition and liturgies and prayers and so forth, and say, actually, the key is not to wish for more and faster, rather it is less, and
it'll come in its own time.
It'll come in its own time.
It's given up that control of, or giving up your lack of or realizing your lack of control in these things, and that's part of it. You know, perseverance is linked to discouragement. Yeah. We're so easily discouraged because we don't get it straight away. We don't get holiness straight away,
And we won't get the virtue of perseverance straight away. Just before we were exactly. talking. Yeah. About St. Alphonsus Liguori and his various sermons on perseverance, and he says, if then we wish to obtain from God the gift of perseverance, we must ask him for it continually. We must ask it when we rise in the morning, in our meditations and hearing Mass, in our visits to the Blessed Sacrament, in going to bed at night, and particularly when we are tempted by the devil to commit any sin. Thus we must always have our mouths open and praying to God and saying, Lord, assist me, give me light, give me strength, keep thy hand upon me and do not abandon me. So this is in this culture where we expect to be able to get everything very, very quickly, as we were just talking about, we can't get virtues very, very quickly. Yeah. You know, we need to actually make a habit of praying for these gifts from God every day. And even St. Alphonsus is saying multiple times a day, you know, mm-hmm. in the morning, in the evening, during the day, you should be praying for these things. And that kind of, in this today's culture, we're in some way accustomed just to asking for something once and getting it straight away, which is not the same in the spiritual life.
And James, you said earlier on, we need to persevere in asking for perseverance.
Yeah, that's what that means. You need to persevere in asking for perseverance so that you can persevere till the end. Well, I was saying to the guys, we don't know where our lives are going. I certainly don't have all the answers, but I know, and I was saying this to Sean, I will die a Catholic. We're talking about final perseverance, is that staying in God's grace. We might fall out of grace, but I know that by the end of my life I'll still be a Catholic. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. And that's what we've got to pray for, because that's what's important.
And that's the hope of the Catholic life, isn't it? Like, if you're a Catholic all your life and you're not in a state of grace at the end of your life, like, that's a tragedy. I mean, we want to be staying, if our mission in life is anything, surely it's to remain in a state of grace as much as we can. And in fact, we should be aiming to be always in a state of grace, but as we know, that's not possible. But at the end of your life, you want to be able to be in a state of grace so that we can enter into eternal life with Christ.
I often wonder as well, it's the thought that I've had a few times, if God gives us such long lives so that we can sort ourselves out by the time we die.
You said that a while ago. I mean, it is interesting, you know, even comparing ourselves to like 100 years ago, when did people live to? 75, 80? If that.
In the 60s,
But people were, you know, on the whole, certainly in the West, you know, like practicing Catholics and live good lives on the whole. I mean, okay, you've got variants. all the time, of course, but generally society, you know, supported the family and all the rest of it. And now in a society which seems to be broken in many ways and have abandoned those kind of wellsprings of just a healthy society, yet we're living to like 90s, 100. As you said, it's more time to sort ourselves out.
It's interesting, we play that clip.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Just you talking about the world there, Sean, and how broken it is. But we're talking, I had to look up different things that we were going to talk about. And something that came up was a speech by Samwise Gamgee in Lord of the Rings.
Legend.
It's like the best speech of all time.
It's in that, like, I always look up, well, I don't always look at some, but like, this is a video and it's like five speeches that will give you chills, and this is one of them. So I have to say, gives me the chills.
It's all about perseverance.
I can't do this, Sam. I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going. Because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? But there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
That those shouts of victory over, you know, there's a battle going in the background and there's someone shouting victory, victory. It's like, That's what you all want to hear at the end of your life.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I absolutely love that.
It's absolutely amazing.
I hope that comes off all right in the recording.
I think a few of the notes like sounded a wee bit like...
Towards the end, yeah.
Like, but anyway.
What was that quote from Pope Benedict about being in the winning team, winning side?
Even if you feel like you're losing all the time.
We're in the winning side, or we're like on Christ's team, or we're going to win in the end, something along those lines. But
victory.
It's a good...
But that's, I mean, genuinely that... that quote from the film is pulled from two different speeches from the books, but it is such a... I mean, Tolkien obviously was a very devout Catholic, and, you know, there's evidence of, you know, his Catholicism all the way through The Lord of the Rings, but that's just such a cry for perseverance. It's fantastic, like that. Lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And along with the music as well, which is dramatic, always fantastic. Yeah. But
you will be discouraged. You will have chances to turn back, but... ultimately, don't.
What were the other four speeches in
the other four speeches? Aragorn at the Black Gate, Theoden, they were all from Lord of the Rings, Theoden before they charge,
Gandalf with
Pippin. Gandalf in the Mines of Moria.
In the Moria.
And then those two. That one, and I can't remember that one. Obviously it wasn't very good.
So there are prayers out there for final perseverance, and there are prayers for perseverance as well. I was having a look at some of them, but they weren't fantastic. They didn't encapsulate everything we want to talk about, so we've missed them out. But any shout-outs? No.
Someone had said they wanted a shout-out. Shout-out to Oxford Catholic Chaplains that shared our podcast.
Really? Did they ask for a shout-out?
No, but they shared it.
So. It's not Cardiff.
Cardiff, it was.
No, I think Oxford is what they were.
There's a few university ones.
Cardiff shared it, for sure.
Yeah. Let me see.
So thank you.
Thank you. They probably
Cardiff did as well.
They won't listen to this one because it's not on universities. Prideful.
11 shares.
Prideful much? That's a joke.
CCCU, CAFSOC, I don't know what that is. South Wales Catholics, UK, St Strathclyde, Youth, Gooka,
Cardiff well.
Newman.
Nice. Well, the Celtic game's just about to start, so...
I think we've persevered long enough with this topic. Yep. Now it's time to go.
Mm-hmm. We've persevered till the end. We have finally persevered. Connor, here's to a happy death.
Happy death.
And final perseverance. Cheers.
Choice here, so
what
this is, what's the diplomacy, isn't it? I'm not talking crap. Democracy, diplomacy. We just start again. Delete that.